listening to Phoenix FM, the voice of your community.
Welcome to Bendigo, past, present and future on Phoenix FM 106.7 on your dial.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is John Hall and Darren Wright presenting you a weekly look at Bendigo's history. This week we are discussing the Bendigo to Kilmore Railway. We have the pleasure of having Mr. Gary Long, the convener of the Friends of the Bendigo-Kilmore Rail Trail, with us today. Gary, can you tell our listeners how you became involved with this organisation?
Good afternoon, John. Thanks very much. Our organisation centred all around the O'Keefe Rail Trail, and it was around the start of 2009, end of 2008. A lot of concern about this rail trail's condition. It had been there for quite some time, and so questions were asked of the council, being the owners of it, what was happening with this rail trail, and the word got around amongst cycle riders, and four keen cycle riders came together to spearhead the community's concern for this trail, and the Friends of the Bendigo Kilmore Rail Trail was formed.
Right. So, I mean, it tells us that it's from Bendigo to Kilmore, but I'm sure there are many people out there who probably didn't even realise there was a railway line that went down that way. I think it closed in the 1960s, I think, did it, wasn't it?
Yes.
Somewhere around about then. Well, the Friends of the Bendigo-Kilmore Rail Trail, the O'Keefe Rail Trail and the previous railway line, what is the connection with all of these?
Yes, well, John, the previous railway line you referred to was actually called the Wallen to Sandhurst, or Bendigo as we know it now, railway line. It was built between 1888 and 1889, quite some years ago now. The O'Keefe Rail Trail, it was built on a section of that previous railway line when it was ripped up, and that was between Axdale and Bendigo, and that rail trail was built between 1993 and 1999. Now, the community group you mentioned, the Friends of the Bendigo-Kilmore Rail Trail, they initially came together, as I mentioned earlier, in 2009, with a view of improving the poor old neglected O'Keefe Rail Trail, plus also a vision, and we have the vision to extend this rail trail through to Kilmore. So a rail trail was created about 110 years after the railway line was first built, and there come a community group, lobby group, basically, was formed about 120 years after the first train ran on this railway line.
Well, you've just mentioned the Wallen to Sandhurst railway line. Where did this railway route run?
Yes, well, this railway line was a branch line, and if anyone does know, branch lines usually spear off another main railway line. So it was built under what became known as the Victorian Government's Octopus Act, and just imagine the tentacles on an octopus out from Melbourne. And this particular railway branch line came off the Melbourne to Wodonga line, and that goes on to Sydney at what was known then as Heathcote Junction, or became known as Heathcote Junction near Wallen, and the railway line then went up through Kilmore, Pylong as we know it today, Toobarack, Heathcote, and then on to Sandhurst, which is now Bendigo.
Well, in actual fact, that's not two lines, is it? Kilmore to Bendigo and this Sandhurst to...
It's all one branch line.
It's all one branch line.
Yeah, it was built, it's basically connecting two railway lines together, if you like, where it comes across here to Bendigo, and there's obviously people know about the Melbourne to Bendigo to Swan Hill line, as we know it now.
Yes.
So it hooked into that, just near where the old railway workshops are now.
You're listening to Bendigo Past, Present and Future on Phoenix FM 106.7. We are talking today about the Bendigo to Kilmore Railway, and we are talking with Gary Long.
Well, Gary, who built this Wallen to Sandhurst railway line?
Yes, well, there was three major principal contractors, John, and they were contracted to the Victorian Railway Commissioners, and the one that probably the name that's around Bendigo is Andrew O'Keefe, and Andrew O'Keefe, then known of Barnardown, he contracted for 27.9096 miles for the princely sum of £88,409.16. There was also G. Buckley and Sons. They contracted for £91,996. But note, they only did it for 9 miles and 40 chains. There's a big comparison there. And the third being McDermott and Sons, who did a section around Pylong, including the two large still remaining timber bridges there.
So it's interesting, isn't it, really, when you think about it? Andrew O'Keefe, he must have been a farmer, was he?
Well, he was an overseer on the Melbourne to Bendigo. His father had a contract on that, so he was involved with public works as well as the family owning property.
What was the period that trains officially ran on the Wallen-Sandhurst-Bendigo line?
Well, the three main contractors built that thing, as I mentioned, between 1888 and 1890. The passenger service from Heathcote to Bendigo, it closed in the war years, 1942. And the Heathcote to Bendigo goods service, it closed the 3rd of December 1958. And that's an important date because that was before Epilock was being built and the reason why the train line was closed. Although the Heathcote, going the other way to Wallen or Heathcote Junction, those services ran along longer period following that 1958 closure of the Bendigo section, as did the line from Bendigo to Dunedin, which remained operational for some years later in the early 70s. So the legislation was passed in April 1975 to dismantle the line, and in Parliament it actually stated that the line no longer existed, which was the key thing. And perhaps Andrew O'Keefe, who spent a lot of time building this railway, he'd be disturbed had he realised in relative terms such a short life of his first railway contract.
It sounds like a fascinating story just on Andrew O'Keefe himself and what he did and how he did it, as well as the actual track being removed. Did that also mean that other infrastructure went as well?
Well, unfortunately, yes. What we're thinking now, all items relating to the railway line were tendered off for sale and removal. One lost local historical icon near us was at Axdale, which was a large timber bridge over the Campaspe River. When the building was finished by the contractor Andrew O'Keefe, it was believed, yet we haven't confirmed that, to be the longest bridge at over 2,000 feet, or in today's language, 610 metres, in the southern hemisphere. So quite a magnificent structure. Specific quality timbers for the tall piers and the piles, they had to be brought from Newcastle in New South Wales, which would be no damn feat in those days. Sadly, little remains of the 80-odd feet or 25-metre-high section above the river, with nothing remaining at all over the golf course, and we believe that most of those bridge timbers were put in a pile and burnt. Yet there are some well weathered piles and crossbeams still standing on the adjoining Maryvale property as a small reminder. There are two still massive bridges at Pylong. Some people know them as trestle bridges, but in actual fact they're pile bridges, and they've survived fairly much intact, yet after 60 odd years of neglect, these are now in a precarious state of possible collapse.
You know, just you telling us all this, it lets the imagination run riot, doesn't it? They had to build all these bridges across the various rivers, creeks and whatever, and then suddenly they decide they no longer need and they just got rid of them, which always seems strange, doesn't it? Now we're almost having a reverse round, thinking rail rather than road.
Yes, and they were brilliant structures. You know, the 19th century engineers and even the constructors that built these huge timber bridges, you know, which were an engineering feat in their own, especially when you think about the type of mechanical assistance that they would have had back then.
Right.
They're brilliant. If everyone stands underneath those and looks at those bridges, you are amazed by them, that's for sure.
Just encourages you to go and have a look, really, doesn't it, Darren? It's sort of one of those things that we don't know about. And they've been lost in time in the fact that they were closed and no longer needed. And yet when we think back to the floods we've had just recently, I don't know whether it had flooded down there, but obviously it would.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, even in Pylong where these large timber bridges, there's huge pieces of timber that have floated down with those floods, and they've now rested up against the fragile timbers of the bridges, which are causing the DSC who manage that area some concern right now.
So much to be done. The fact that a few people get together and say, look, this could be something really worthwhile. I think we were talking before, and the areas that a thing like this does cover is amazing, isn't it? I mean, we look at it from an environment point of view, the fitness point of view.
But history, you know, there's people just want to get away from the hurly and burly of, urban life. And on a rail trail, which is always a low gradient because the trains have to go on them anyway, so people find that easy to ride. But, yeah, you've got all those other things of people interested in the history, searching out railway history or just searching out urban and rural history. You know, and these these rain lines go away from the normal road. So that's about a brilliant way of exploring.
You are listening to Bendigo Past, Present and Future on Phoenix FM 106.7. And we are talking things relating to railway, i.e. the Bendigo to Kilmore line, the Wallen line, and we are talking with Gary Long.
Right, Gary, the O'Keefe Trail, how did that come into being?
Well, it's all based around the railway line we just mentioned, and as a result of legislation in 1975, I mentioned before, the dismantling and the selling off those railway line assets, the Shire of Strathfield, say, as it was known then, purchased a section of the railway reserve from the Campaspe River at Axdale to its boundary with the then Bendigo Council. And as I understand, one of the key reasons for buying it was to recover and use the ballast that was the gravel, etc., was underneath the railway line. And almost 20 years ago, around 1991, the Shire of Strathfield, say, with the state government funding, decided to build a rail trail as we know it on the railway reserve. Then later, I think it was around 1999, the extension of this trail from the McIver Highway at Juniton into Napier Street, White Hills, was funded and built by the council.
So it's had its beginning anyway, didn't it? It's now a going concern in that sense.
Mm.
What remains of the original railway infrastructure on the O'Keefe Trail, is this now funded as an extension to Heathgate?
Yeah, well, from our research, looking at that infrastructure we talked about before, there's only very few items that remain. One is the grassy Flat Creek bridge. That's, if anyone's going past it, in Strickland Road, Bendigo. There's a large timber pile bridge, or some people know them as trestle bridges. There's also the remnants, as I mentioned before, of the Campaspe River Bridge. There's a smaller failed wooden timber bridge over the Wattle Creek near Heathcote. There's also a concrete bridge, which is the best bridge of the lot, I guess, from the remaining as one, in the One Eye Forest. There's probably about three iron telegraph poles standing and a few timber and brick pipe culverts, and one original milepost that our regular users of the trail have been able to determine. John.
Right. Well, talking of mileposts, your group had a historic milepost project on the O'Keefe Rail Trail. What was this?
Yes, well, the original 19th century railway lines, they were installed with a concrete distant marker or milepost. Some people would have seen them on roads as well. So not only was that to indicate the down line, as they know it, the down line distance from Melbourne, it also assisted the engine drivers with their speed and their trip planning. So in most cases, when the railway lines were closed, those assets were sold off. So too were the posts, and they went as well as the poles for the telephone lines. So one of our friends' group members, Ken Hansen, he had the idea to replicate these historic concrete posts for the O'Keefe Rail Trail. So with the assistance of some local businesses and other members, Ken manufactured a number of these replica mile posts, and they're no small thing. There's quite a large concrete post for the O'Keefe Rail Trail, and we've done the whole lot to allow for when the trail is extended to Heathcote. So with the permission of the Bendigo Council, these were painted white with black numbers, and they're progressively installed along the trail from Axdale to Bendigo at this stage. The final replica 100 mile post and the original railway line, as we mentioned, was altogether 100 miles, 74 chains and 34 links from Melbourne to the junction there just near the Melbourne to Echuca Northern Line. So you can see this 100 mile post, it's just near Rose Road at East Bendigo as it crosses the O'Keefe Rail Trail. Some additional posts from Axdale to Heathcote section have been manufactured, and we believe that this rail trail is possibly the only current one in Australia to have a full complement of railway mileposts along it.
Yes, I can remember travelling by train when I was younger, and you'd look out and you'd see the mileposts flick by, and it always gave you some sort of information of how far to go and or how far you've been or whatever, but it was always there that you looked for it each time you went past. In fact, I think we used to play games with our watches and that to see how fast the train was. We could work out how fast the train was going over a mile.
That's true, yeah. And the first question we always get from people is, well, where's that distance measured from? There's always a question of scratching their head trying to work out, what does it mean, 100? You know, where's that from? And those distances were always measured from Melbourne. So the train left,
I think, from the post office, was it? I think the post office was
post office or Flinders Street Station, whichever it is.
Yeah, somewhere like that, that they had a starting point and that went from there.
Radiated out.
Yeah. to all the directions, and they were an important thing in most of the, especially country travelling, with a milepost, because they did tell you how far you had to go if you were sitting there and wondering.
Mm.
It's and it was great, really. The original section of the O'Keefe rail trail has now been operating for nearly 20 years. So what's it been like to use? 20 years, that's amazing.
It's gone past quite quickly, I guess, for those people that have ridden on it in different times during that period.
That's right. I still can't get over that this has happened and it's there, and so many people have not even... Well, I didn't know it even existed. And I think this is exciting to find out. Now, after 20 years, suddenly I've found out, not that I'm a cyclist, but I found out that there's this trail that can be used.
Well, that's right. It's used for cyclists as well as runners and walkers and people with horses. So, yeah, well, the old rail trail, like most infrastructure, the ravages of time, the weather and use do have a major effect on it. And the O'Keefe Rail Trail has been no different to that, with probably minimal maintenance, I'd suggest, over the past 12 to 15 years. It's condition, well, it's substandard, basically, compared to other high-profile rail trails, Victoria and Australia. Victoria's probably got the highest number of rail trails. And so, really, it's been quite unpleasant to use in some sections. And as I mentioned at the start of the program, the community wanted better and was crying out for something to be done, and hence the formation of our group. Also, such trails, they'd really need an end destination or a town of comparable size with some diversity to attract visitors and the overnight stayers. And trouble was, the O'Keefe Trail, it lacked some of those things. Not that we say what's there now is not attractive, far from it, but it, you know, you look to those things that the towns have, wineries and accommodation and cafes and things. And so hopefully with the extension that's now being done, Heathcote will be a great destination for this trail.
Well, yes, I think even the other little ones, you know, Bendigo to Axtale and then Axtale to Heathcote sort of seems a logical sort of, and maybe some in between where people who are walking would be able to stop and have a spell. I don't know. I mean, these are things that probably have to be discussed. But it's interesting that that it's been going for so long, and it's you would say that it is used on a regular basis.
Oh, yes, yeah. The council has now put traffic counters on it. So there's two traffic counters on the existing trail now. So they're getting indication of the use on that trail, which is from Bendigo to Axtale. It's around 19 kilometres long.
Right.
And so when it's extended to Heathcote, it'll be just under the 50 kilometres. And our vision to have it to Kilmore and down to Heathcote Junction will make it just over 100 kilometres long.
Wow.
So it'll be quite a considerable trail. And overseas tourist operators, they're looking for these long-distance trails. They bring people into the country, run on a trail like this, stay overnight in the middle or in sections.
Yes.
And then back to the airport and fly them out. So they're a great economic generator in the communities.
Today we're talking about things pertaining to railway, and we're talking about the O'Keefe Rail Trail. We're talking about the Kilmore to Bendigo Rail Line. We're talking about all sorts of things, that some of which we have forgotten about, with Gary Long.
Gary, lost bridges on the trail. Is this a problem, and why? I mean, you can explain why. We've probably touched on this a little bit, but obviously they had to build bridges across creeks and rivers.
Yeah, that's right, John. And of course, when building a rail trail, you're going along the original easement and using, trying to use whatever you can. And those bridges were there for a good reason when the train service was going. And then when they sold them off, often those bridges were required to be dismantled, and there's great timber in them. So for building a rail trail, recovered or missing railway bridges is one of the biggest headaches beside land ownership issues. And as you can imagine, most of these bridges spanned a permanent water course or just one course that carried stormwater runoff. So either these missing links have to be spanned by a new trail bridge, which is a more or less lightweight bridge compared to the railway line, or repairs to the original bridge so as to create access, or even bypass the track around these gaps, as we call them. So for the O'Keefe Rail Trail, the original build saw the Axe Creek Swing Bridge being constructed in 1993 to get over the Axe Creek, as well as the Splitters Creek Bridge. And also, I mentioned earlier about infrastructure, there's still the Grassy Flat Creek, which is on Strickland Road, the original timber bridge there. It was in fair condition, and so it was actually repaired and had a new deck put on it. Unfortunately, the other six missing bridges between Junaton and Axtell were not replaced at that time, so these had to be bypassed, which really made the ride difficult and sometimes hazardous.
But, those things can be overcome by boards indicating the history of that particular spot. But recently, success with major funding for the trail was achieved. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, it was a big feather in our cap, I suppose. So, as I mentioned before, in 2009, the four founding members of the Friends set out to have the O'Keefe Rail Trail upgraded to today's rail trail standards for walkers, riders and horse users. And also, we had the vision for creating a long-distance trail in central Victoria that was formulated. Basically, we had a cell camp. No bones about that. Started with presentations and public meetings, media releases and lobbying local political representatives. Positive attitude of the City of Greater Bendigo Council officers and the councillors, of course, together with the then local minister Jacinta Allen and the Regional Development Victoria department staff, assisted this groundswell of community support to achieve a major co-funding agreement between the state government and the local council, achieving $3.22 million being a funding over a four-year period. So this funding will enable the trail to be upgraded, and that's happening at the moment, and also extended to Heathcote.
All systems are at go in that sense. Go, go, go. And what are the current plans for the O'Keefe Rail Trail?
Well, under this current funding, six new bridges have already been installed, and they were filling those gaps that I mentioned before that were missing. That was between Bendigo and Axtell. Another part of the project is that the current Axe Creek Swing Bridge, now that bridge is nearly 20 years old and it has its problems. Unfortunately, it was set low down on the original railway bridge alignment compared to where the train used to go, so access to it was hazardous and the bridge was quite narrow for the various trail users. And also it didn't allow riders and horses to cross the creek. So early this year, 2011, our group made a recommendation submission to council not to spend the original allocated budget out of that $3.22 million and attempt to deal with this old bridge and its problems. It was to replace it with a high-level fixed-span bridge, similar to those other six bridges that I just mentioned. So we now understand that this replacement will occur in near future. So we congratulate the council officers and the councillors for making that decision.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess that they can see the value in this particular rail trail for Bendigo and for the future of Bendigo, because it gives us another access to something that they can promote.
Certainly, it's definitely for their local community for use, as well as for attracting tourists. They're a great economic stimulus. They generate a lot of money, not necessarily the most beneficial for Bendigo because of the size, but it is definitely beneficial to those smaller communities like the Axtells and the Heathcotes and the Junatons, etc. You know, they're the main beneficiaries of what is a huge input of money and activity.
I can see that. Well, your friends group has a vision to see a Bendigo to Kilmore rail trail built. Is it achievable? That's the big key, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Had you asked me that question early in 2009, I would probably have said, John, well, maybe in 10 years' time, the very best. Well, you know, after 18 months, this major funding to extend the Keith Trail to Heathcote had been committed, and I think that was, you know, we were elated at the time, of course. The next 40 to 50 kilometres of trail to build this vision from Heathcote to Kilmore and or down to Heathcote Junction, well, you know, it might take up the balance of that 10-year prediction. Yet we're optimistic, and we're now working with the Mitchell Shire Council. Now, Mitchell is controlling the area from just the other side of Heathcote, if you're going on the McIver Highway, right down through that area. So we're working with them to see how such a vision now may be implemented in the future. So such a, you know, 100-odd kilometre a long distant rail trail linking between two high-speed passenger services, and this is the key thing with this trail, and which is going to be really significant, is that this rail trail will link the Melbourne to Wodonga and also then the Melbourne to Swan Hill or Melbourne to Echuca lines, and it will be quite unique in as far as rail trails in Victoria and Australia, and so it'll provide easy access, transport access from Melbourne for interstate or even international trail users. They'll just come into Melbourne up on the train, got their bike off, ride or walk, whichever way they're travelling, stay overnight in some accommodation in between, get back on the train when they go to the other end, which is either, you know, at Kilmore or at Bendigo, depending on their direction, and then probably link up with another trail like the Goldfields track or the new trail that's being built now from Tullaroook up to Mansfield, which is a brilliant trail and will be open on the 7th of December, I think.
Things are really happening that we probably knew nothing about, Darren, in that sense, isn't it? It's just one of those things. It's been something that is fantastic because I know that people are looking for being able to get out and see the country, not from a car or from a bus or a train even, but to be able to walk or ride in comfort, well, a bike's not comfortable, but at least ride and carry out this. And as you say, you've got this link that'll link all of these around, and people can actually come by train to here, do their ride or walk, train and so forth, and move around the country and get the feel of the country as it really should be understood, as the bush rangers and the early settlers knew it nearly.
That's true. And you know, there'll be people that'll own property or houses that suddenly will think, oh, I could turn this into a B&B or something like that, because this is the sort of things that occur on rail trails. Suddenly you had a property that put its back to the old railway line and faced the road, and then in other examples they'll turn those houses, not physically, but turn the property around. It might have been an old butcher shop, turn around so that the back door becomes a front door onto the rail trail. It becomes a cafe. You know, everyone likes to have a coffee these days.
That's right.
And now, therefore, you've got an enterprise business that you never had before.
We have been talking about the O'Keefe Rail Trail and the Kilmore to Bendigo Railway and so forth with Gary Long.
Right, Gary, I believe there is another small project being proposed by the friends of the group to follow the milepost project. What is this?
Yeah, John, well, people who use rail trails do so for different reasons, and we touched on that earlier, such as, you know, exercise, enjoying the environment, overnight stays, visiting attractions like wineries, and searching out history. So with most of the visual railway history on this line being lost, including where each of those original railway stations and the platforms were located, our group thought, yeah, what about highlighting those? So we're proposing a project that will highlight where each of these former, well, basically they were transport hubs, were once located, whether they were an official railway station or whether they were known as a platform. Hence our next project, which is called the Railway Station Signage Project. Now, this project idea is to install a large replica type sign at each of these identified sites for the former railway stations or platforms between here and Heathcote, and such signs will be visible mainly from the rail trail, or depending on where that is with the road, you might be able to see that as well.
So, well, that sounds great, because I think the next question was, how many former stations and platforms were there between Bendigo and Heathcote?
Yeah, well, it's amazing how many there are on those railway lines, because when we think about when they were built, travel wasn't something that you did in a hurry. You were quite, it was either horse and cart or even bullock wagon sort of thing from those early days. So there was a lot of these stations because they were the focal point for the local people living in the community or the farmers, etc. So from our investigations, there is approximately 14 sites that were operational, not necessarily all at the one time, over the length of this life of this railway line. And so these sites were named usually due to a district or a town or a little development. And so for that section we're talking about from Heathcote to Bendigo, if we look at from the far end, there was the Heathcote Railway Station. We think there was a Bald Hill platform, definitely the Derrinal Railway Station. There was a Morabi platform, the Knowsley Railway Station. And then at the Axdale Quarry, there was two platforms, the Trench & Co. platform and the V.A. Dean or later Ingram platform that were loading the Bluestone. Then you came into Axdale, and we have the Axdale Racecourse platform. The people will sort of look at you as funny and say, racecourse? Yes, well, there was a horse racecourse at Axdale. And so we moved then from there to Axdale Racecourse. Coming further towards Bendigo, there was the Longley Railway Station. This was originally known as the X Creek Railway Station. Strathfield Say Railway Station, although it didn't have a long life. Homebush platform. Rangeley platform. Rifle Butts platform is an interesting one because that's right near where the rifle range is now. And then there was the Bendigo Freezer platform. Now, that Bendigo Freezer Company platform, or many may know it over the years as Vimer or Mayfair, you know, that big complex over there that was there. It was a small railway siding off the main line that went into that processing place, and there today is the only remaining original platform left. It's still on that land, now privately owned, and it's virtually intact where it was originally built back in the time when that was called the Bendigo Freezer Company. But unfortunately, it too, like many other things, is under threat of being demolished because of industrial land development.
Right, and it'd be a shame to see it go, wouldn't it, in reality, because I think it's an important thing that we should remember. Whether it could be shifted or not, I don't know. It's really great because you don't realise how important the railways were to the people in this area, and particularly to the gold mines, because the timber in Bendigo became like water, pretty scarce eventually, because of the mines were using the timber as fast as they could go.
Yeah, it was known quite as the timber line, because both the railway line was bringing timber to Bendigo for mines, shoring up the drives, etc., as well as the building, and it also fed Melbourne with the firewood sort of coming out of Greytown and those forested areas there.
Yeah, it's been such an important part of Bendigo's history that has been neglected.
And lost.
Which is what happens over the time, and this is one way of resurrecting this whole concept of the rail trail, which is where the trains used to run. So it's a very important part of Bendigo's history that we're bringing back to life. Will anything else be proposed at any of these science stations?
Yes, well, obviously there's no buildings or anything like that left, John, and so we would like to see what we would call interpretive boards installed along the rail trail at important or interesting locations. Now, for those that don't know, interpretive boards are information boards that, they provide the reader with an insight into the past era. One that might be like a photograph of a building, a steam train, or a community event, a description of an accident, you know, a train derailed off the Campaspe Bridge, or a printed words from an oral story recalling people working on the railway line or seeing a huge wagon load of wool being driven to the station. Many people love to look at and read this type of information, and then they can imagine what it would be like to be at a time when that photograph, whatever, was taken. They're probably standing in the exact location, but it's a century later, and so people then are able to try and live what was then happening as that centre or that interest spot.
Now, as your group gathered any historical information or photographs about these?
Yes, that's one of the hard things, of course. As you've mentioned, most of the railway infrastructure is gone, so we can't take photographs of it now. So some of this historical information that we'd like to obtain has already come to light, yet we believe we've only scratched the surface of what's available in the local community. We were now appealing to people to search out such historic links to the old railway line and to the townships. There was gatekeepers' cottages that were at a lot of the road intersections, as well as the railway stations and pictures of the trains that were on those. So, you know, they might be in that old suitcase that's been put away that Auntie had, or that was hanging in the shed. Perhaps there's that old photograph, you know, Auntie Phyllis or whoever she might have been, that was, you know, standing at the Axdale or the Derrinal or even the Heathcote railway station waiting to board the train for the appointment to a doctor in Bendigo or Melbourne. She was going to take that large train journey. Or it could have been the racegoers that were alighting from the train at the Axdale race course platform bound for the horse races at Axdale, or even the story about travelling on the old Beetle from Heathcote. It would be great to be able to recount that sort of thing. So we wouldn't be keeping such original material. You know, if someone found that photograph or that sign that was coming off the old building, we would be scanning that type of material in, getting it digitised, of course, returning it to the original owner, and so that detail then would later be etched or printed onto the metal information boards that would be at those sites.
You're listening to Bendigo Past, Present and Future on Phoenix FM. We are talking about trains and the O'Keefe Rail Trail and all sorts of things related thereon with Gary Long.
Well, Gary, you mentioned the old Beetle. What was the old Beetle?
Yes, well, just before I get on to the old Beetle, John, I'll just going back to that previous request and searching for information and history about the old railway line and towns, if I can just let people know that if they could get onto our website, and if someone hasn't got access to the web, get your best friend to. If you log on to Bendigo Kilmore Rail Trail, or one word, .com, there's a heap of ways of contacting us there on that website, and we'd love to hear from anyone that's got some information that can pass it on to us, and as I said, we will definitely be giving that back to you. you the original copy. So thanks for that. Yes, the old Beetle, a piece of history. Like many branch lines, they didn't all run steam train plus carriages for the short haul passenger services. They usually used rail motors. They were usually like a single or a twin carriage with an engine inside it rather than a steam generating it. And so the one in Heathgate was called the Beetle, and this Beetle was a marriage, if you like, between a converted truck for the driving power and a train carriage for the passengers to be in, all on a set of four steel railway wheels. So this unit ran along the railway line, providing a low cost, usually for a low number of passengers, and this did it for a number of years. We believe that this rail motor then was sold off from the Heathcote Railway Station, and the buyer took it to the Elmore District, perhaps to use as some accommodation, whether it's for the Chooks or whether it was for some workers, we're not sure. We'd love to hear from anyone who may know where this railway motor still exists around the Heathcote or Elmore District. It's probably sitting at the back of a shed or somewhere or other. So, you know, perhaps one day this particular item could be returned, say, to Heathcote as a static display to sit there alongside the rail trail.
Right, yeah, well, who knows? I mean, unless you ask, you never find out. People might have it and think, oh, that's that old thing down the back shed there. But then it's more important than they probably realise. Well, Gary, when will the extension of the O'Keefe Rail Trail get into Heathcote? What's your ambitions in this area?
Yes, well, it's probably well set out, this project at the moment. We're in discussions with council officers, and we've got an excellent working relationship with the major project staff about building this new rail trail. Hopefully from both ends. What I mean by that is that let's start building it from Heathcote, working towards Axtale, and vice versa from Axtale, where the current O'Keefe Trail finishes now, heading toward Heathcote. Now, council planning is continuing, and with some expected draft sectional trail routes to be presented to the public at Heathcote and Axtale in the near future. And they'll be looking for feedback about those draft ideas. We understand that there are landowners of the previous rail reserve that will need to be consulted very soon in this whole process to ensure that they appreciate the benefits and the importance that the success of a rail trail along the original, as close as we can, alignment will become as far as those small communities and townships along the route. As I mentioned earlier, you know, it is a great economic generator of income for those areas. You know, it's understood that there could be some different points of view about this trail extension, with many probably of those views being raised in the past and resolved with other rail trails across Victoria, Australia, and of course in many overseas countries. So our community group hopes that it represents a cross-section of views, and we welcome both the input, well as new membership, of course, to assist the council to achieve the best outcomes for the communities in central Victoria. Mindful, of course, of local farmers that live adjoining this rail trail at the moment, and hopefully the outcome can assist them. You know, often it will keep the local hotel going at Toobarak. There's suddenly a resurgence of people using it, and there are benefits to the local farmers and the community to have that store that, you know, might be next thing is a coffee shop going. So, you know, everyone hopefully is a winner in this build, and we're not looking for any losers. We're trying to work around people that have certain ideas about how it should happen. That's what the consultative process is all about.
It certainly is, Gary. Well, Gary, on behalf of the listeners, Darren and myself, I'd like to thank you for a most interesting, enjoyable, plus a most informative information on about this topic that we've got. Most of us, I'm sure, a lot don't even know it exists. And I'm sure people would probably like to get to know it a great deal more. So it'll be interesting to see what the response we might get from today, and I hope we get a good response.